Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." You may be seated. Those words from John's gospel are the ones that tell us where they wave palm branches. He has that account. And a few minutes ago, we heard Matthew's account of Palm Sunday as our Lord rides into Jerusalem. And so we see in all of this that our Lord comes. And he did not save you to be afraid of what is to come. No, God saved you in Christ to be confident and unafraid because you know what Christ has accomplished for you, what you have in him now. And you know what he promises you is your future. Palm Sunday looks ahead to this week where there's great suffering to be sure. But you know that this is your redemption as Jesus took your place and atoned for what you cannot. A new week, a new day follows this week where death has been defeated and victory is proclaimed. So we hear, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And so Zion is called to fear not. And when God tells you to fear not, he means it. Because Jesus goes forward steadfast toward the shame of the cross. That's where he's headed. He knows it. He knows what's going to happen in a few days. He knows the cost that must be paid. He knows the cost is great. He knows the suffering that he must endure. But still, he goes. He goes as the lamb uncomplaining forth, bearing the guilt of sinners, bearing your guilt. He goes on as the man of sorrows and love toward his people. His mind, his heart, is set on your redemption and will accomplish it at the cost of his own life. So as we think about all of these things, we see that God calls you to have the mind of Christ. In the epistle reading, he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So that mind of Christ, which is to be your mind, is a steadfast humility. It's to look outside of yourself, setting your mind and heart on the things of God, loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Because going through this life, you are to fix your eyes on Christ, to find your rest in him. You place all your trust in the one who emptied himself so that you are redeemed from sin, death, and the devil. It's all yours as the burden has been borne for your sin and you are righteous before the throne of God. This life is lived in that reality of who you are in Christ, lived in light of what you have in him. Jesus was heading toward death as he rode through the streets. But the thing about Palm Sunday is that next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Death could not hold the Son of God as he rose from the grave. And baptized into Christ, that's the same for you. Every minute, every second of every day, you're heading closer and closer to the grave, but your grave stands open. Easter is always and will always be your future. Because it's easy to get caught up in the things of this world. We live in the here and now. We live in this world, and we think at times that this is the greatest good. Human wisdom, fallen human wisdom, walks by sight. It walks by experience, not by faith. But that's not what the scriptures teach you about life lived in this world as the people of God, as the daughter of Zion. The Bible shows you there are things far more deadly than death, and that God alone is to be feared, because he alone can rightly send you to eternal condemnation and suffering in hell. And likewise, God tells you that if you love this world, one who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And whoever loses his life, or loves his life, will lose it. So these are not the way of walking by faith, hearing and keeping God's word. For those things lose sight of who God is, lose sight of what he's done, lose sight of that mind that God has called us to have as his people. So that's where he tells us when we are tempted by the devil, tempted by the world, tempted by our own fallen flesh to forget or doubt these promises, he calls us to repent, to tell those things that is the mind of Christ, that those are not the mind of Christ that we have as a Christian. Now, it's always interesting, too, right after the Palm Sunday procession reading in John's Gospel, that some Greeks come to Philip and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So thinking about all of this morning, and as we look to the week ahead, what a confession and example for you to always have on your hearts and minds. This week, we'll hear a lot of our Lord's Passion, and on Good Friday, you will hear from St. John's Gospel about our Lord's suffering and death, and we'll hear from Mark and Luke in these different accounts. And it's good for us to hear these things, to be like those Greeks and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," as we ponder this week ahead. Because it not only reminds us of our Lord's work and what he endured, but it actually gives Jesus, gives his salvation. So when you hear those words of suffering, when you hear those words of death, see your sin that brought this about. But see your God in the flesh who humbled himself, who his mind and his heart was to pay the price that you deserve under God's wrath. Make use of your baptism when you hear these words of God today, this week, and every day, and know that this is all yours, what he has accomplished, because it is finished. It has been paid in full. See Jesus riding on in majesty and lowly pomp, riding on to die for you. See him on the cross, and behold your Lord and King, behold your salvation. See that it has been done, and his resurrection from the dead proclaims this victory as won and yours. All of these accounts, all of these events during this week orient you and your life toward the future, and see your life lived here and now with this in view, even as on Saturday at the Easter Vigil, we see all those works of God in the past pointing us to the redemption that you have in Christ. Set your mind on these things, for this is what you have today, each day, because the future is certain. Your future is known because Jesus has accomplished your salvation. He says to you, "Your sin is forgiven. Fear not, daughter of Zion, I came for you, riding on a donkey. I came heading to the cross so that you are my child and you are an heir of eternal life." What a wonderful thing to behold this the mind of Christ for you, in which he gives you, which cast out all fear and rises each day that the Lord grants to you on this earth, knowing that the day is coming when you will rise from your grave and be forever with the Lord. And so the mind of Christ is to take the form of a servant. It had to be done, who he is as God in the flesh. But it is necessary for him to have done this, and this is his mind what set about to do it. It's always a wonderful thing to sing that hymn of the day we sang a few minutes ago. Paul Gerhardt in that hymn includes this conversation between the Father and the Son. Listen again to those words as we meditate this morning on our Lord's Passion. This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. "Go forth, my Son," the Father said, "and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion, they will share the fruit of your salvation. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. A wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation." Dear people of God, sons and daughters of Zion, behold your King. He has come in great humility, but this is his great glory as he has come to save you. Rejoice, daughter of Zion. What a joy this day is to behold this all and receive Jesus, who rode on in majesty to die, who rode on to the cross so that you your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. And baptized into Christ, you have the fruits of this salvation, which your Lord willingly undertook. You're reaping the benefits of his passion. Ponder it all now, today, and this week. what your Lord has done. Take it all to heart and consider yourself. Repent of your sin, which tears you away from your Lord, and rejoice in the Lamb of God who takes away that sin, as he has borne it freely and fully on your behalf. And greet your Lord. Greet your glorious King. He's your King, and you are his people. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. That is your Lord's mind. That is your mind that you have in him. And blessed indeed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed indeed are you now, for the King is here, and you are his, now and forever. Amen.